Welcome to part two of our series, James, A Faith That Works. Last week, Pastor Dan introduced some of the major themes that we are going to be exploring together over the next few weeks. And today I'm going to build on a couple of the ideas he touched on just a week ago. So if you have your Bible or YouVersion app, follow along with me as I read. I'll be continuing in James 1, starting in verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Jesus is encouraging his hearers to persevere, to endure the trials and temptations they are facing. Persecution is the backdrop of this letter written by James. And so James's encouragement for the people of God is this: endure the trials and temptations that you are facing. Endure. Persevere. Not just so you can get through the challenges you are facing now, today, and that you will inevitably face tomorrow, but persevere so that you can ultimately be identified, recognized as someone who belongs to Jesus. Your endurance, your ability to persevere, is a requirement of your faithfulness. It's the foundation for building a faith that works. And so perseverance can be understood as alliance or allegiance to Jesus. You will persevere to the end if you remain faithful, if you hold on to the allegiance that you have made to Christ and to his kingdom. This idea of allegiance, true faithfulness to God, includes both identity and action, who you are and what you do. For James, who you are is proven by what you do. Or to put it another way, your allegiance to Jesus is shown through your faithfulness to him. Who you are, your identity, is always proven by what you do, your actions. This is why James continually emphasizes doing, not because he sees faith as something you have to work for or earn, but because faith requires action. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Yet allegiance to Jesus is not only tied to perseverance, it's also tied to obedience. Faithfulness is a matter of right understanding and right action. Or simply stated, it's a commitment to doing what God has said. To hear and act is a matter of obedience. James builds a framework for this by drawing on the Old Testament concept of personified wisdom. In Proverbs, wisdom is personified as a woman or a teacher, and she's understood as a companion of God. If you live righteously, then she comes and she lives with you and among you. Wisdom makes her home with you as you obey. Now, I could take some time and try to explain this to you, but I decided that my friends at the Bible Project have already done a much better job than I ever could. So take a look and hear what they have to say about it.
There are three books in the Bible that have come to be called the wisdom literature: Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job.
And all of these books are addressing the same set of questions. What kind of world are we living in? And what does it look like to live well in this world?
So, how to be good at life?
Yeah. So each of these books tackles these questions from a unique perspective, and it's important to understand all of them to get a fully biblical perspective on the good life. So as a thought experiment, you could actually imagine each of these books as a person. So Proverbs would be like this brilliant young teacher, and Ecclesiastes the sharp middle-aged critic, and Job would be this weathered old man who's seen a lot in his day.
We're going to start by meeting the book of Proverbs, the brilliant young teacher. And she's not just smart, she's smart about everything, work, relationships, sex, spirituality. She has incredible insights. Things you wouldn't see on your own.
Yeah, she would be the perfect friend to have around when you need really specific advice.
So what makes her so smart?
Well, Proverbs can see things that most people don't see. She believes that there's an invisible creative force in the universe that can guide people in how they should live. And you can't see it, just like you can't see gravity, but it affects everything that we do.
So what's this force?
Well, in Hebrew, it's called chokhmah. And it usually gets translated into English as wisdom. It's an attribute of God that God used to create the world. And chokhmah has been woven into the fabric of things and how they work. So wherever people are making good or just or wise decisions, they're tapping into chokhmah.
And whenever someone's making a bad decision, they're working against chokhmah.
Right, or as it says in Proverbs chapter 1, the waywardness of fools will destroy them, but the one who listens to wisdom lives in security.
So it's like a moral law of the universe.
Yeah, it's a cause-effect pattern, and no one can escape it. And Proverbs personifies all of this as a woman.
Yeah, Lady Wisdom.
Right, and she roams around the earth, calling out, making herself available to anyone who's willing to listen to her and to learn. Which leads to the second thing Proverbs believes, that anyone can access and interact with wisdom and use it to make a beautiful life for yourself or for others.
You can create with it like a designer.
Yes, in fact, chokhmah in Hebrew isn't simply intellectual knowledge. The word is also used to describe a skilled artisan who excels at their craft, like woodworking or stonemasonry. So you show you possess chokhmah when you put it to work and develop the skill of making a good life.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's do this. Let's go find some wisdom.
But before you do, Proverbs has one more really important thing to consider. Chokhmah isn't some impersonal force. It's an attribute of God himself. And so in Hebrew thought, your journey to becoming wise has to begin with what Proverbs calls the fear of the Lord. It's this healthy respect for God's definition of good and evil. And true wisdom means learning those boundary lines and not crossing.
James takes this idea of personified wisdom and attaches it to what he knows and understands about Jesus and the kingdom of God, and specifically about what it means to be faithful to Christ. He understands that the one who is wise not only receives instruction, but acts on it, and acts on it faithfully. James points to the need for both hearing and doing, understanding and acting. To know and never act is not wisdom. That's what James is getting at here. James is highlighting that true wisdom, true obedience, true faithfulness requires doing. It requires action. Wisdom is given by God through the Holy Spirit to do the things that he has called you to do. Wisdom and obedience are linked. The wise person is able to act on what God has said. And through their obedience, the wise are able to endure trials and temptations and to remain faithful as wisdom guides their lives. James sees wisdom as obedience, just as he sees faithfulness as action. The two are inseparable from each other. They're two sides of the same coin. James tells us to listen and to obey. He knows that to hear what God says but never do it is like glancing at yourself in the mirror. To see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. To look in the mirror in the first century wouldn't have been the same as looking in the mirror today. Our mirrors are made of glass and reflect a good, clear image. They give us a really accurate idea of what we look like. But when James writes this, mirrors aren't made of glass or other highly reflective material. In fact, mirrors weren't highly accessible. If you were rich or prominent enough to even have one, they would have been made of bronze or other reflective, polished metal, and the reflection would have been poor. Reflections remind us of who we are in all of our beauty and in all of our imperfections. They force us to come face to face and really see ourselves for who we are. When was the last time you took a long, hard look in the mirror? When was the last time you stood in front of your reflection? When was the last time you stopped and took the time to see who you are, to take a careful look and really examine yourself? Perseverance is the key. It's the goal. And you can't faithfully press forward, and you can't expect to press on if you're quick to forget who you are. To hear, to listen, to know is not enough. Because if all you do is hear but never act, listen but never do, you will very quickly forget who you are and what it is you are being called to do. We must listen and we must obey. James calls for perseverance and obedience, to remember God's instructions and to do them, to be faithful, to hold allegiance to Jesus. And James reminds us that if we do these things, we will be blessed for it. But blessing here doesn't refer exclusively to God's favor. It's not the idea of monetary wealth or material gain, or even of God's divine action to bless us. Instead, the idea of blessing here is actually human flourishing. Certainly, all flourishing is a gift from God and cannot happen apart from Him. But the idea here is that this blessing is tied to a wise way of living. And through this wise way of living, there is a production of flourishing in our lives. James's use of blessing here is best understood within this framework, flourishing, human flourishing. As the wise person chooses to live faithfully to God and chooses to do the things that God has called them to do, they will flourish. As the wise person listens and obeys and trusts that Jesus will lead them through all trials and temptations, they will flourish. James is again pulling from the Old Testament and builds on his idea and understanding of blessing. He has a Jewish understanding of God's redemptive and restorative work, seeing it as an experience of shalom, of peace. The idea that all parts of a person's life are functioning in harmony and completeness. There is a restoration as God brings his shalom, his peace, and as a result, his flourishing. And this flourishing is a small taste of what's going to come for those who remain faithful and hold tightly to Jesus, even through trials, even through testing. For James, listening and obeying, hearing and doing is not just a matter of faithfulness to God, but the process of becoming whole. When we actively obey what God has said, we are not only being faithful, but we are becoming a sign of what true human flourishing looks like, both in small part now as we endure, and ultimately later when God's kingdom comes in its fullness. As we endure trials and temptations, we begin to experience God's recovery and restoration right here and right now. We become an image, a visible representation of what flourishing can look like within relationship with God as we trust Jesus. Jesus offers us a new way of living and being faithful in the world, despite all the troubles that come. And if we persevere, if we remain faithful, we will not only experience flourishing now, but we will experience ultimate human flourishing when God restores his reign of justice, peace, and rest on earth. But first we have to remain faithful. First, we have to endure. We have to be identified as those who are faithful and hold allegiance to Jesus. We have to persevere and obey. See, a faith that works is a faith that has been tested and proven to work. It has to be proven to work. And so today, if you find yourself in a place of uncertainty, if you're in the middle of what feels like endless cycles of problems and issues, if you seem to be facing one challenge after another, after another, after another, and you're unable to see a way out or see a way through the situations in your life right in front of you, I encourage you to hold on. Stay the course. Persevere. Listen and obey. Remain faithful. Because Jesus is giving you a faith that works. Even though it might not feel like it right now. Even if faith is the last word you would use to describe your relationship with God this morning, I want to encourage you to stay faithful, to press on, to move forward. Because Jesus can be trusted. He's trustworthy. And because you can trust him, you can know that he is developing in you faithfulness, the ability to endure, the ability to press on. Jesus is giving you a faith that works. And if you trust nothing else, and if you believe nothing else, I want you to hear James, to listen, to obey, even when it seems hard, even when it seems impossible, even when it seems like no real good will come of it. Press on and press forward because Jesus is trustworthy and he is giving you a faith that works. Even if it doesn't feel like it today, he's giving you a faith that works, a faith that will work through all of your trials and all of your testings and all of your temptations. He's giving you a faith that works, that will work tomorrow and the week after that and the month after that. And sometimes we can't see it for what it is, but Jesus is with us as we endure. Jesus is with us as we grow, as we develop, because Jesus is the only faith that works. Let's pray.